tonight we have the really incredible message that I'm sure all of you have taken to heart over these many years, and you're probably really perfect at it. But I got to tell you, I find it very difficult. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Someone strikes you on the cheek. Say, take a look at this one too, baby. To take a journey with someone and asking for some support and then giving them more, doing actually more for them. That, to me, is an extraordinary, difficult thing to comprehend and certainly to do. So I think tonight, I struggle with that. I struggle with that gospel because I think it's calling us in the name and in the person of Jesus Christ, as so much of the Gospels call us to come to realize that companionship with Christ, coming to know this person of Christ, coming to listen with our, not just our heads, but with our hearts, that message often brings a certain disquieting and struggle in our lives. And possibly, sometimes we just don't know what to say or to do about it. So all this week, as I was preparing this, I was reading all these incredible people that do so many wonderful things in that area of forgiveness. And it actually made me feel worse, not better. So here's one example of from Gandhi. I didn't know this. He said, "Have I the nonviolence of the brave in me? My death alone will show that. If someone killed me and I died with prayer for the assassin on my lips, and God's remembrance and consciousness of his living presence in the sanctuary of my heart, only then would I be able to have said that I have the nonviolence of the brave." Not long after he wrote that, a Hindu who resented Gandhi's respect for Muslims approached him as he was making his way to evening prayer. And as you remember, shot him 3 times in the chest. But what I didn't know is that just before he died, Gandhi raised his hand in a gesture of forgiveness. And he murmured, "Rama. Rama, Rama, I forgive you, I love you, I bless you." Whoa, it's extraordinary. And so I struggled with that all this week, and as I said, I was reading all kinds of things, and I was more and more diminished by it, because I find that hard, that gospel, especially, you know, in my own heart, when I can say to someone, "All right, yes, I'll be nice to you, but by God, I'll get back somehow." You know how you, in your head, you think those things. So finally, Friday, John Shea, I was reading this one little reflection, and he said something that makes a lot of sense to me. So I share it with you tonight because I hope it might be a bit of support and help to you. He said, he tells the story of a snake that he says is instructive. I love this, so pay attention if you would. The snake hears the stunning teaching. A snake hears the stunning teaching of Jesus from a wandering preacher and immediately, from that moment on, refuses all violence. This snake refuses all violence. He will no longer bite anyone. So when the local children realize that he won't bite, they begin to beat the snake and take sticks and knock them all over the place, everywhere, every day. The snake is near death when the preacher returns and asks about his health. "How are you doing?" The snake tells him of his heroic actions, expecting that the preacher is going to praise him. But the preacher says, "Snake, I told you not to bite, but I didn't tell you not to hiss." so that at least gave me the license to hiss, even though I won't bite. And maybe that's where we start. Maybe when we're challenged by the message of Jesus Christ, when we see in this person a call not only to forgive our enemy, not only to turn our cheek, not only to not only go 1 mile, but go another mile when people ask of us and sometimes pester us, but even, my brothers and sisters, to have compassion for ourselves, to be able to forgive ourselves. And I think sometimes that's even harder. The mistakes we make, the sins we commit, the addictions we have and that we share. And because we are unable to forgive inside, it becomes perilous for us, hard for us, difficult for us to forgive those on the outside. And so maybe we just begin with a hiss. We don't bite, but we hiss. So at least there is some gradual change, ever so slowly becoming more and more like the Master. Not immediately, not in some great hot moment, but over our journey, our period together. Now, I'm not trying to not convince you to do it, but I'm just suggesting that those kinds of things in our life take time. And then I place that tonight, my brothers and sisters, in the context of something that I heard this last week that really disturbed me. As you know, over the last 5 years, there have been a great decline in our church, in the Roman church. 20% of our congregants have left over these last 5 or 6 years in America. And when they do exit polls, when they think about who is it that is leaving and why are they leaving, interesting what the response is. What do you think the response is? Give me a thought. Why would 20%, now there's lots of reasons, but what would be the dominant of that? Any thoughts? Clergy scandal, that's what I thought. But it's not that. What is that? Adaption to society. That's not it either. But it's something I thought about, actually. Any other thoughts? Someone this morning last night was very gracious and said, money, you talk too much about money. I said, no, just St. Monica's. Any other thoughts? Do you ask too much of me? You know what it is, my brothers and sisters? Singularly, the greatest issue, at least in their take, it's simply because they do not find in their experience, in their church community, an understanding, a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so they look someplace else. They have not come to know that person of Christ. And as a result of that, because of that, they're looking. And I've got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, I think that's at the heart of this gospel tonight. I think it's the heart of what we do here in this community of faith. If we are not able, when we come into this church, not just in this moment at 5:30, but in all of the variety of things that we do together, whether it's the Cornerstone Retreat, where we have had some opportunity to have some experience, whether it's a Kairos for our senior year, something that warms the heart, not just the head, but the heart, where we maybe have had some opportunity with a man like Jim Finley, who takes that time just to teach us how to meditate, how to pray, how to take some time to pause and go deep inside us. If we do not hear clearly that reading of the Holy Word of God, if our music and if our outreach does not help us not just to hold on to this mirror and look at ourselves in our self-absorption, but crushes those mirrors and helps us to look at each other. If we are not doing that, if that's not at the heart and center of who we are, then we have failed. We have failed each other. And so I do believe that that is at the heart and at the center of who we are as a Christian church, as a Catholic church here in the West Side. That you and I together are here to come to know that person of Jesus Christ who walks with us, who stays with us, who is literally our companion in season and out of season. I get up every morning early, as I mentioned to you 100 times, 4:30, and I'm so grumpy. And I've got fear, I'm full of fear, anxious about things that are about to happen. And I get on that bike and I start riding, and all of a sudden, as I make that turn at Chautauqua, it strikes me. I am not alone. Jesus Christ is my companion. I told this beautiful couple I just married here yesterday, Jesus Christ is with you in the promise that you make. But if we never walk with a stranger. I don't ride with a stranger. I don't spend the day with a stranger. We don't talk to strangers. Maybe we should, but we don't. We talk to those we know, the people we love. This person of Jesus Christ, he is our companion. He is the very source and energy of our life. And it's only, my brothers and sisters, if we ever so gradually in our prayer, in our Eucharist, in God's Word, in our outreach to the poor, in whatever other ways, ever so gradually we come to know this person of Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, our Lord. And as a result of that, my brothers and sisters, our hope and our prayer today is that this person will give us the courage, the strength we need, first of all, to be compassionate in our own hearts and in our own lives, care for each other, forgiveness of each other, willingness to let go of those things that only bring isolation, and an inability then to reach out and to touch the lives of other people. And that we see in each other and in this community of faith, this community of St. Monica's, the opportunity ever so gradually to come to know this person of Christ. That's my hope for tonight. It's a hope for me. I hope it's the hope for all of you. And certainly tonight, our hope for Jean and Scott, that somehow, some way, whatever happens here tonight, we will be able to bring our love and our prayer in their very dark hour. We pray for that. We pray for each other. Amen. We believe...